Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Steve Bannon joins the program. That's right. Steve Bannon joins the show. And if you have been touched by our program, moved by our program in any way, I encourage you guys to go to members.charliekirk.com. It is an affordable way where you guys can subscribe and become an insider. When you are an insider, you guys get exclusive interview content like this Tucker interview, like our Steve Bannon interview, like our Vivek Ramaswamy interview, like our Glenn Beck interview, like our Jonathan Isaac interview. And you guys can also listen to all of our programs advertiser-free. It's a phenomenal deal. So check it out, charliekirk.com or members.charliekirk.com, and become a member before the year ends. We're growing this community, and it helps us a ton. It allows us to stay on top of the news without fear of cancellation, without fear of censorship, so we can keep on saying what is true, regardless of boycotts and all that nonsense they try to throw at us. So if this show has made you think differently about an issue, if this show has impacted your life, if this show has enriched your life, go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab and become a member before the end of the year, because in 2024, it's going to be a year, everybody. It's going to be a year. So go to charliekirk.com and become a member today, charliekirk.com, and become a member and get your friend to do the same. And get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the nation's most important organization in the country. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. One more thing for you to consider. If this show has blessed you this year, you guys can support us. $50, $100, $250. Some people give $1,000 before the year ends. It's at charliekirk.com/support. If you guys had a blessed year and you want to give back to our program, helps us hire staff, promote the podcast, grow the podcast. It helps us stay strong as we head into the consequential 2024 year, as we've done hundreds of speeches all across the country and brought you content every single day. So go to charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. You guys can voice your support and pledge your support right there, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Well, Steve, welcome back. This is your third Turning Point event in the last year.
Yes.
And this is a big one. This is the biggest we've ever done.
It's unbelievable. I've been watching. We've had it up on Getter and Rumble, your stream.
Yeah.
Our audience has been huge today. Speakers have been amazing.
So, I mean, you've been in the movement for a long time. Kind of give us, as one of the generals of the MAGA movement, where are we? What do you see giving you hope? Biggest threats on the horizon? Lay it all out there.
Well, you can tell. Look, this movement, the MAGA movement, you know, Tea Party and then the MAGA movement is ascendant. And it's on a roll right now, right? You can feel it across every ethnicity, demographic, racial, particularly African-American men, Hispanic men, young people. But the forces aligned against us are only getting more serious and more severe. And when I say there's no middle ground, there's no middle ground. One side's going to win here, and one side's going to lose. And it's obvious that they are so panicked about losing control of an apparatus, since let's be, they've had really control of it since the Second World War. We can expect everything, anything and everything. And particularly, I think in the last 72 hours, I think we've seen between the three big elements of lawfare, using the courts,
yes,
the justice system, using the biopharmaceutical aspect, with, because mail-in ballots, another you know, pandemic or another flu, you know, people talking right now, COVID's out there again, the flu's out there, you've got to get it, that aspect of it. And the third, which I never thought they would pull it, but it shows you how scared they are and how desperate they are. Powell and Yellen, they've essentially said they will flood the zone with fiat currency from a central bank and the Treasury. And Yellen knows where all these pockets of liquidity are, to basically, and they said three or four more rate cuts. This is what $2.5 trillion of deficits trailing 12 months. We passed $34 trillion in debt face amount. We've just done it in 90 days tomorrow. They are prepared for the first time in our history to sacrifice maybe two generations. Anybody under 35, you are screwed beyond belief. Even if Trump wins, or when Trump wins, and when we take this back, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to take us we're going to have a decade, a lost decade, until we come to grips with this fiat currency, what they've done. They are converging the central bank, the lords of easy money on Wall Street, the tech oligarchs, the national security apparatus, the legal apparatus. When Rudy gets a $148 million judgment, Trump's going to have his company stripped from him. They are pulling out all stops, and they're sending the signal to anybody who's prepared to step up that if you step up, you're destroyed.
That's right.
And they're prepared to destroy a generation or two. Remember, every set of elites we've ever had in this country has always looked downrange to try to better the nation and particularly better future generations. Between this younger generation under 35, between drugging them, the propaganda, you see now they're traumatized. They're talking about they don't have kids, family formations later, but now financially and economically. They're prepared to destroy them to stop Trump and to stop this movement. And that means this next year, you're going to see things you've never seen in your life in any country to try to stop this movement.
Including assassination attempts?
I think Robert Kagan, let's talk about that. I think there's two Roman analogies here. One is Caesar. Robert Kagan, you got to remember, Robert Kagan wrote a 5,000-word piece in the Washington Post, I think it was last Sunday.
Try to get the mic as close as you can, Steve.
5,000-word piece.
Better, guys? Yeah.
And Kagan is one of the senior intellectuals. His father was the lead. Donald Kagan was the lead classicist at Yale.
This is super important.
Robert Kagan is probably the leading intellectual in of the neocons, okay? You know, for Ukraine, having us all over the world, big Iraq guy, big, you know, Afghanistan guy to get us in there. His wife is Victoria Nuland. And as, you know, Darren Beatty calls her the dominatrix of the color revolution set. But she's the one all over, you know, she's been the mastermind of Ukraine from the beginning.
That's
the
right.
Color revolution. He wrote a 5,000-word piece about Trump as the new Caesar and Caesarism, which is historically been when a republic goes to a dictatorship, you are morally justified and intellectually justified to assassinate said leader.
It's a dog whistle of predictive programming.
Not, by the way, there's dog whistles, but this was just written out to give you full permission. Intellectual and moral. Yeah. You have moral. A dog whistle maybe kind of hint at it, and that's been hinted at before.
All right, then it's a full beacon.
Full beacon.
All right.
Right. Full beacon for and by
predictive programming.
And not exactly. And not from some guy who's a marginal guy. This is not a blog site writer.
No, he's top-level intelligentsia.
Big time. And the wife is an execution operator in the deep state, right? And so they've said that. And I don't think we've thrown down hard. I've also heard from some donors that there's been loose talk in Democratic social settings, Republican social settings, that they're tossing out the concept of assassination, figuring if they can decapitate our movement. That's why this AmFest and you were so important. They have to understand two things. You plan or plot or try to harm Donald Trump at all, you will answer to us, right? And one of the first things we're going to do when we get in is to find out, open all the files on JFK, on Robert F. Kennedy, on Martin Luther King,
Malcolm
on Malcolm X.
X,
on all of it, right? It's time that we had a full, you know, the nation come together and find exactly how there's done.
A healing moment.
A healing moment, but also to hold people accountable. And we have to hold people accountable. I would, quite frankly, bring Kagan in immediately. He should be indicted to me. The Secret Service should be all over this. They should have all his phone records, who he talked to about this, who at the Washington Post, what editors talked about it. Did Jeff Bezos know about it? It doesn't get any more serious than this piece because it's giving them the moral authority. The moral authority, that's how evil 100%. We are. That's how fascist we are.
The way we prevent it, Steve, in my opinion, outside of actually loyal people around Trump, is we have to call the bluff and say they're going to try to kill Trump. And it might scare them enough to stop it. Because what I have found is that if you can broadcast the play before it happens, you got a 50-50 shot that they don't do it. 50-50. Is there any other way to prevent them from? Let's just say it bluntly.
I think we
are dealing with people. They say he's literally Hitler. They spied on him. There is only so much more. 700 years in federal prison.
Right.
We have 13,000 people here, Steve. I mean, let's just be blunt about it, right?
And you look at the polls. The polls are, you know, the country, the country is coming together around supporting the MAGA movement.
It is not
Trump.
A profound new concept that you go take out the person you don't like.
Well, they also think the MAGA movement will collapse when Trump's gone.
Can I?
Yeah,
you go first.
No, I think we have to. That's what this thing is so powerful with AmFest. We have, you know, yesterday was the 250th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. You know that, right? So 250. You right here are the exact lineage in an unbroken chain from the revolutionaries at the Boston Tea Party. 15 months. It was happened on the 16th December. 15 months. After the Boston Tea Party, the shot heard around the world, Lexington and Concord. 15 months, we were at war with the British Empire. These guys understood, with the British Empire on the ascendant, they wanted out. They wanted to opt out and were prepared to fight to opt out, prepared to go to war with a powerful empire to opt out. Why? They understood the power of the landed aristocracy in England, and also, whose tea do they throw over there? The East India Company. They understand the power of monopolies. That's the exact structure we have in the country today. That's why you guys are in a direct lineage to the patriots of the Boston Tea Party. And the establishment, the established order, has to understand that you're prepared, not going to back down from this. Trump, they're thinking now to save themselves. Because remember, when we take over, there's no saving them, right? We're going to go into every file. We're going to have tribunals. To be fair, right, just people that broke the law, right, or people went outside their lanes to do things, but there's things that are going on in this country for years, right? It has. We are not the republic. We are not true to them, the revolutionary generation, right, if we don't do this. We have to do it. We must do it. It's an obligation. That's what MAGA is about. We have to show that, and we have to call them out. If anything happens to Trump, they will be held accountable.
I'm very honest with the audience, and one of the things that keep you up at night is I'm going to wake up one morning and they're just going to say, you guys know the headline. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm afraid that that's going to happen in March or April. And I want to say one thing. Romans 8:28, God works all things out for his good, right? We have a sovereign God who is perfect, and we are nothing here but obedient to do our part. Donald Trump he's got to be in Reno today. Right? I wish he would have come, worked my hardest. But God works all things out for his good. What's the buried lead here? You have 13,000 people and President Trump isn't there. Think about that.
You have a new Tea Party here. You have the Boston Tea Party right here.
But think about it.
It's right here. It's right here.
The buried lead
is... You have in this audience, you have the Sam Adams and the John Hancocks and the John Adams, right? And the Patrick Henrys, the revolution, and the militia guys that were prepared to stand up. I don't want to be too, precise about things, but we have it. We're revolutionary. We broke off from the most powerful empire on earth in its beginning of its ascendance because of tyranny. We wanted our own deal, no matter how uncertain that was. We have to shatter the American empire that the founders never in a million years thought about the deep state and the administrative state. If they came back today, they would be disgusted.
But understand, here's the mission. The mission is just to chop off the top a fake 100-year layering on top of the American Constitution.
Yes.
We have to be very precise about it, right? There's been a 100-year layering of unconstitutional garbage and nonsense that has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse, right? Started with Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson, first president, hated the founders. He said, we're now advanced, German historicist, progressive, Princeton guy, and then FDR, and then LBJ, and then the Uniparty. And so our mission statement is just to get back to the promise of the founders, get back to the Constitution, and basically chop off this century of deviation
yes.
that we've been on.
And General Marshall and what General Eisenhower warned us about,
yes.
all of it. And then the assassinations, anybody steps out of line, the impeachment of Nixon, all of it. It's all of a piece.
Have they played the assassination card very much in the last couple of decades? Epstein, yes. But
yes.
I think there are other play. I think that there was a new playbook that was instituted because I think with social media and cameras and leaking, I think it's harder than ever to execute a deep state execution.
Well, it's also they've co-opted everybody. Remember our our biggest enemy in front of us is the RNC and the Republican establishment.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. I mean, you've built. Why did an entrepreneur, a private entrepreneur, have to really build the most robust, urgent, growing, meaningful, impactful political organization when we had the RNC and all these state parties, right? The reason is that they've been co-opted. They sent a letter today. Lindsey Graham, this is how bad it is. Lindsey Graham and these guys had to send a letter today to tell McConnell and Lankford, stop negotiating on this thing on the border, okay? We're not sending money to Ukraine right now, and we're not going to have you play some games and do some backroom deal on some optics to put lipstick on this situation. We need everybody to come together in D.C. and we need to vet it. That's how bad to think in Republican and Democrat terms is old politics.
That's right.
This is populist nationalism versus the elite, the globalist elite. And they run the deal right now and they've co-opted so much. I don't know if a black man, I think it's just that it's so lucrative to be part of that, particularly as they take jobs and press down the middle class. This is why the middle class is destroyed. This is why the working class is destroyed. And now they flood the zone with 9 million illegal alien invaders, right? And their big solution to that is give them work permits in 6 months so that African-American and Hispanic-Americans get crushed.
That's right.
They can never – look, between crushing the working class with the invasion on the southern border and by the way, with the immigration laws they have, crushing the middle class – from high-value-added tech jobs.
That's right.
Let's not forget about that. And what they're doing with fiat currency to flood the zone with cash to prop up this illegitimate regime to destroy a generation that will never dig their way out of this. You're going to be Russian serfs. You don't own anything, and you're not going to own anything.
So I want to use that as a good segue because, Steve, you and I have both kind of – by the way, who watches us on Real America's Voice? Anybody? Yeah, well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I owe a lot to Steve.
I like being the warm-up act for Charlie.
No. It's the opposite. No. It's the opposite.
I know I'm doing well when Charlie's texting on the strip. Fire! No, fire!
I watch him every morning, by the way. It's better than Warpath Coffee, just watching Steve. Who needs coffee, right? It's just boom, Bannon cannon. You know what I text Steve? I say, enough of the guests. Just talk. Right? Don't you guys agree? Enough of the guests. No, I like when Steve just says, oh, our guests are canceled. Let me tell you. And it's just kind of like that old saged Irish wisdom, right? Sitting around a fire, he's just throwing bombs. And it's just, I love it. I grew up with guys like that in Chicago that were mentors, by the way. Tom Patrick,
wow.
You know, old, really good Irish Chicago guys. You know the type, right?
Rancontours.
Yeah, oh, the country is enriched by him. But I want to say our 1-2-3 combo with Jack, we got to get a picture of us three, by
fabulous.
The way.
Five
on
hours.
Rav has unintentionally kind of become this like
block.
This block, yeah. Right? And there was no plan. It just came. The Lord works in amazing ways. But, you know, Steve, you and I have kind of been playing, and we haven't compared notes on this. But we're both super worried about the spending. And I hope you guys heard what Steve said, is that the elites, they are so worried about Trump, they're basically willing to tell anybody under 35, you're going to have no future. We're going to destroy you to stop Trump, right? Flood the zone with money. But Steve, I got to press pause here and time out. Speaker Johnson. And I let's be honest about it. Let's just lay it all on the table, right? I love that he has a biblical worldview. I love that he says he's a Christian, right? I love all that stuff. What's going on here? Help me understand.
I think, I think he's a good man, biblical worldview. When you have to stand in that thing you call the gap, right? When you have to step into that gap in the defining moment and your actions are going to be things that drive the direction of history, you have to go all in. I think because of his upbringing, I think he's way too conventional. And he's thinking of this in conventional terms. You know, the trailing 12-month deficit, and if you're in finance, the projections you look at, but the trailing 12 months is what you always look at for a company.
Yep.
$2.5 trillion deficit, okay? $200 billion a month as of right now. So that means every 5 months, we had another $1 trillion. The 33 trillion to 34 took under 90 days. This thing is called the law of large numbers. It's exploding right now. And there's no plan. The thing they're talking about now, maybe the best case is cuts $200 billion. I mean,
no, but it doesn't
nothing.
Even cut. It cuts the rate of growth.
It cuts the rate of growth.
It's not a cut, everybody. No, don't fall for this nonsense.
So, and they keep saying, oh, it's got to be the entitlements. I go, are you kidding me? First off, it's not the entitlements at all, the math. But even that, I said, the American people are going to sit there and trust you to actually tinker with the thing when you haven't cut discretionary spending, you haven't gone out and cut out the woke and weaponized.
It's insulting the people that paid into Social Security their whole life.
Unbelievable.
That's the first thing they go after?
But the Kochs, remember, they're obsessed with your $1,200 a month check.
No, they're obsessed with it.
That's obsessed
Charles
with
it. Koch is worth $85 billion.
He's obsessed with
and he stays up at night being like, we really need to get people to live on $1,100, not $1,300.
Yeah, yeah. Or nothing, right? And this is what's the problem with the American empire. You're paying. We have an $850 billion defense budget. And look, I'm actually a hawk, right? When it's necessary, a hawk when it's necessary. But we have an $850 billion number. We're paying for everybody. We're paying for every military in the world. The European elites in Switzerland and in Tuscany and the south of France and in Belgravia in London. They pay almost nothing for military. They're not an ally. They're a protectorate. That's why Trump was so hard about getting them to 2% of GDP. What did they do in the NDAA with no debate? They slipped in a law at the last second that restricts Trump from pulling out of NATO or doing any restructuring.
What's the buried lead there, Steve? They're worried he's going to become president.
Oh, that's exactly. They're doing structural things.
No, that's
now.
What I'm saying.
This
is the greatest sign of hope. They're passing all these preemptive handcuffs for Trump, which is like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. Well, hold on, time out.
Yes.
Hold on. You're awfully worried that this guy's going to become president again, right?
Yes.
By the way, if you talk to any insider in D.C., and if you were to say, hey, gun to the head, Trump president, yes or no, more would say yes than no.
Oh, 80%.
The insiders.
First off, they know he won. They know he won in 2020 with 74 million votes.
Yes.
Hold it. It's mathematically impossible for Biden's numbers to be this low. If you look at independents, he's in the 20s. Mathematically impossible for a guy to get 81 million votes. This is one of the reasons they have to stop us, because they understand we're going to be relentless about.
I love that term.
We're going to be relentless about getting to the bottom of the 2020 steal. And who's accountable, right? And also J6, which is a total inside job.
That's right.
Look at Clay Higgins, right? What he's saying. Clay Higgins, a law enforcement
guy. He's been great.
He and Laura Logan are focuses on this thing right now.
Yes.
But the question gets to be, why haven't we done this beforehand? Here's why. The Republican establishment is still controlled by Wall Street and the giant corporations. They are tied to the donors. The thing they fear most is you guys. And they fear an awakened They fear an awakened population. You are an army of the awakened.
Yes.
And you guys are essentially the pathfinders. You're the army rangers. You're force recon. You're 10,000 to 20, 25,000 maybe throughout the country that listens to the show, becomes a force multiplier on social media, networks, et cetera. And now we have with that special forces in an army, these people are becoming awakened every day. African Americans, Hispanics, neighbors of yours, people that hate Trump and said they voted for Biden, or people disagreed with you on mask or vax, everything. More and more every day are coming to our side. And that's where you are the deciding. The difference of whether we win or not next year is this audience. If we are relentless,
yes,
relentless, and don't back down and have Trump's back, and he knows we have his back.
Yes.
We'll win this.
I want a couple thoughts. Steve and I have this running joke, which is we can't keep ahead of you guys, the audience.
No, it's tough.
It's just tough. These other guys, I don't want to say, these other networks and stuff, they're so disconnected from their audience, right? They're so disconnected, and that's why it's so boring, right? I can't watch cable TV. Can you guys watch cable TV anymore? How many more segments do I have to have? Joe Biden, bad, no, Republican, good. That's why I like watching Steve.
TV for Steve.
Right?
People.
Exactly. And, it's Steve getting into financial markets, and, it's like really good stuff. But if I get a date wrong, I'm getting 1,000 emails of people, right?
No.
Saying, how Charlie this and that. And by the way, I love it. Because the audience, they're on every word. They're educated. Yeah. They're sending me stories, Steve. And that it's a two-way.
On COVID, on the vax, everything, on detail, every
J6 insurrection. And it's like, everything. And they're on this like 24-7 loop.
Yes.
But Steve, this is new. This is not normal in a good way, though.
No.
Right? This is all of a sudden an army of the enlightened where the atmospheric awareness of the entire conservative MAGA movement.
Well, I will tell you, when Andrew, when we were shifting Breitbart. When he blogged to be the site you see today, even in doing that. For that year that we took, or 9 months to work on it, people were not nearly as awakened. I mean, it was like, you know, but they were getting there. You can see in the comments, you can see in the chats.
Rush was the only one that really talked to his audience and would have a two-way kind of radio going, right?
Yes.
To his credit. He started that whole thing. He would listen to his audience, but it wasn't enough because a majority of the people.
But even as great as he is, he didn't see the populist aspect of this. What they fear the most, and this is why we do so much capital markets and economics on the show. They go out of their way to make sure you can't understand the way the system works, right? Because if you understood how the system works, you're going to go, this is insanity. We're not going to continue to do this. You know, fractional banking, the Federal Reserve, and you're going to see the Federal Reserve in all its glory. And Yellen's very smart. She ran the Fed. She knows where all these pockets of capital cash are inside the system that they can fuse into liquidity without having to go to quantitative easing again after blowing their balance sheet up. And you already see they're doing the stock market rally right now, particularly in the Magnificent Seven. It's all fake.
Guys, let's just go back 9 or 10 months to back up Steve here. Silicon Valley Bank collapse happened earlier this year.
Yes.
And then 90 days to the date, the Dow and the S&P were up 2.5%. How's that possible? It's because Yellen, she quietly started to buy back bonds, very quietly. She started to release cash. She quietly. And she never released that the balance sheet was expanding. The Fed expanded their balance sheet. And so here you have bank collapse, Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank. You would think the market would go down after banks are collapsing, right?
Yes.
And what do we have? We have the market going up. So now, year over year, this is funny money. This is sugar high stuff.
Sugar
high. We got valuations where Microsoft is knocking on the door of a $3 trillion valuation.
Yeah.
No, what they're
doing.
Apple's
sitting with a train
and
half.
But here's where Speaker Johnson comes in. And I, Steve, you're.
He's not tough enough. He's a good man, but he's not tough enough.
I'm even harder on him than Steve is at times because I want him to start acting like a Christian. I want Speaker Johnson not to say he's a Christian, start acting like a Christian. Stand up against these demons. Stand up against these people. You should have never have put Congress to go back home during Thanksgiving. You guys should have worked through Thanksgiving break.
They shouldn't be working right now.
They should be working right now trying to get a deal done on either 702 and the spending cuts and all that. But I think what we're getting at, Steve, is that the American people, we're begging for an opposition party. We're begging for somebody to stand up against this stuff.
Well, I think we are the opposition party. We're now 80% of the votes in the Republican Party. Here's the Nikki Haley play. You saw today with the CBS poll. She's a 29. They're all.
No, I don't believe. I think that's fake.
By the way, Raheem did the work. It's a brush fire poll to show her some momentum.
Yeah,
right?
But she's. You understand what that is? That's called a donor poll.
Yes.
Where immediately within 90 seconds she sends it to about 500 donors. See, Russia donation by Super PAC.
Yes.
It's an op for an op to get cash for an op.
Democratic donors and guys in Silicon Valley. The play there. They know they can't take Trump down, although they're going to take a shot, right, in New Hampshire and have an LBJ moment where, you know, she comes in, you know, second and everybody tries to get around her. That's not going to work. But their real play is to have her hang out, put enough money in, have her hang out, and then June and July start making the big play that she's VP. And that then she would run, she would be like the prime minister. Trump could go out and do his rallies, do his speeches, but she'll run the deal. That's what we have to stop.
But Steve,
we have to stop. Nikki Haley represents the neoliberal, neocon, business as usual, old Republican Party.
Did you say you think Trump should pick a woman, though?
100%, no doubt.
Okay, I don't know if I agree with that. Tell me, convince me.
I think that it's very important for President Trump to go forward, and I think that we can blunt a lot of the things that are going to come against him from suburban women and others by picking a qualified woman. She has to be qualified.
Like Christine Ohm, maybe?
You've got a whole range of people I think could be vetted.
Okay.
I think, look, don't get me wrong. Some of the people, Tucker, and I think Tucker will be president.
See, that's where I'm. I'm Tucker for VP.
I think Tucker will be president one day. I think there's other good guys. right? There's a number of congressmen.
Senator Johnson's an interesting pick.
Senator Johnson's a great pick. You've got a deep bench of solid people that ought to be fully vetted, right? You got Rick Grenell. You got a whole host of guys that could do this and should be vetted. I just think, and it's not that it's going to draw any electoral votes to us, but it balances, and I think some of the women are of high quality, and so I just think that it'll be a woman, and I think we ought to focus and do thorough vetting on all those that can step in and help President Trump. Because here's the thing, and you saw some of the articles about who's going to be in the administration and everything, and they put out a Wall Street Journal, which is a little more conventional, with really great people. But President Trump has these policies he's going to implement, but a big focus of his is going to be taken on the deep state. He's not going to just let this imperial power inside the American government.
Yeah, this is the big fight, though.
This is the big fight.
This
every
is,
day
this is Caesar
down.
Trying to take out the Praetorian Guard.
Exactly,
that's what it is.
Exactly. And that's going to be the big fight. He's going to need somebody who could ride shotgun with him on that. But I think you've got some very qualified people, and I think we have to vet them all. And like I said, I think Tucker – hey, look, a combination of Trump and Tucker this time I think would be terrific, right? I think it would be terrific. I just think if we had a woman, it would be a little more balanced, and I do think Tucker is definitely going to run in the future.
So my argument with Tucker is – I think women love Tucker. He's handsome. He's smart. People say, oh, Charlie, what do you mean he's handsome? He's objectively good looking. He's on TV, okay? And I say this with an unblemished record of heterosexuality, for the record. That's a George Costanza quote, by the way, just so we're clear. You ever watch Seinfeld, Steve?
Every now and again.
It's a joke. If you have any idea of Steve's background, you get the joke. But it's one of my favorite...
We owned a taste at one time.
No, I know. It's one of my favorite George Costanza quotes. He says, with an unblemished record of heterosexuality, I think you look great. So number two, so let's game this out. Recent thing, is Trump going to be a felon? Is he going to be in jail? If yes, doesn't Tucker kind of throw a wrench in that?
Well, hold it. They just said, you know, the polling, it's Politico had a huge story yesterday.
This is a huge deal.
This is why they're coming after you and they're coming after Trump, because they know you have Trump's back and now they're petrified. They did, Politico came out and did some analysis of polling.
It's a crazy story.
Said, even if Trump, right now, as it stands, even if Trump is found guilty of these felonies that they put up, people don't believe him anymore. They look at this stuff and they say, they're clearly coming after Trump. He would still win after being convicted of a crime. And that's what's got him. And that's what's got him.
I'm going to read the headline. Is that okay? Yeah. So Politico.com, which is one of the ruling class, you know.
Big time.
And by the way.
It's the tip sheet for the elites.
Yeah. And they get some stuff that's super weird. I read it every day, by the way. I love reading it. Yes. And I think you do too, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like Semaphore, kind of like insider baseball. And so the front page of Politico.com all day yesterday is, quote, and I'm pulling it up here, is why Trump's indictment might not save the Biden campaign.
Think about that.
It's unbelievable, right? And they changed it here a little bit. But basically, they're starting to backpedal, Steve.
You know
and they're
why?
Being like, it's
you know
not going to be
why?
Enough.
You know why? He didn't get 81 million votes, right? They stole the election. They're petrified about us getting in there and finding that out. That's why Trump's – it's just mathematics. Look. I know tons of hedge fund guys and people that hate the sound of Trump's name, okay? Not one of them believes that Biden won back in 2020, legitimately.
So why a Trump conviction might not save Biden's reelection?
That was the original headline.
Yeah, no.
They had to take that.
Yeah, no, they changed that. By the way, so now you admit that the conviction is all about the reelection?
Right.
Thanks, Politico.
Right.
I mean, these people. But Steve, we're putting it all on the table, right? This is 24.
Yeah.
I have a fear. I'm just going to be honest. I get these emails every so often, and I don't like this attitude. I'm never going to vote again, Charlie, because, you know, the system's rigged, all this sort of stuff. How do we balance that people don't think Biden got 81 million votes?
I think we have to. I don't think we've been convincing. I think, if anything, of get out the vote and obviously the energy that's here, the get out the vote, you know, getting 74 million votes and even doing more this time, maybe breaking 80 or going past.
Let's break 80. If we break 80, 80. My
but
goodness.
But I'm still, and this is the RNC, and this is why I think you need an immediate take. I think we need to crush the RNC.
Rana's got
to
go.
Got to go. Rana's got to go. And not just Rana. The entire senior staff's got to go.
The senior staff, by the way, they hold the power.
Do you understand in this phony primary that they're running, they'll spend about $750 million on this primary with ads and everything going on? You saw Jeff Rowe got fired last night because, I mean, they raised so much money for DeSantis. And it's
$286 million.
$286 million.
How's that doing?
and not one thing on voter integrity, not one thing to make sure they can't steal the election. I think the weakest part we have still, and I think we have to convince people. I can understand guys saying, hey, I was there in 16, I was in 20, I put it all on the table, and it got stolen, and I haven't seen anything that's convinced me otherwise. The state parties, as you know, in Arizona, we're sitting on ground zero. They're broke. They're good people. They're broke. And that's why I think there's got to be a takeover. I think Turning Point's got to take over the RNC. Well, I think it has to, right? It has to. We're not. We don't. We
add
don't
it
have,
to the list, Steve.
No,
you know.
We don't have time. We don't have time to mess around, do we?
No.
It can't be people's feelings are hurt. We're trying to save the country.
Well, just so you know, and Steve, we're going to announce it here. You know, the RNC is going to try to put a hit out on me. But 2 days before the RNC meeting in Vegas, we're hosting our own RNC meeting called Restoring National Confidence in Vegas,
at
the same hotel. We want you to speak, by the way.
I'll be there.
Yeah, we'd love to have you speak. And it's about restoring that. By the way, this is we have 50 county chairs. We're bringing in all these committee men, and we're going to do our best.
Hold on. What hotel is that?
It's at the Paris something or
– Yeah, this might – they're staying at a high-end hotel. We'll stay at the Ahern.
Of course. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
By the way, why don't you have it at the Trump? It's a great hotel in Vegas, right? Hello.
And no casinos.
No gaming. So, but let's build this out here, right? 2021.
That's great. That's a full heckle from Charlie, by the way.
Oh, no, by the way, I will not have any friends after that. And
hold it. I say Charlie's got too much to do. He's doing it. But what about Don Jr. to head the RNC? Yeah. It's a natural.
By the way, he's run big businesses.
It's a plug and play.
Yeah, no, that
he knows the president. He's pretty close to him.
That's a great idea.
No, I said. I think it was Sean Spicer asked me the other day.
I love that idea.
I said it's Don Jr. He's an entrepreneur. He knows MAGA as well as anybody, right? He's a grassroots guy.
He's incredibly persuasive, right?
Incredibly articulate.
Five kids,
smart. And not just that. This guy works like his father 7 days a week.
Oh, he's one of the
he's a dynamo. And you get Kimberly thrown into the package, and he knows Trump. It would be hand in glove. We don't have time to mess around.
No. This is it.
He gives a plug
this
and
is
play.
The whole civilization. And this is what's driving me crazy is that, you know, some people say, but Charlie, you know, Ron is a nice person. I say, why is nice a criteria?
Yeah.
For what are we talking about here? Yeah. Is this a church elder board?
Right.
Or are we trying to win back the country?
Church elder board would be more brutal.
No, but that's the point.
You guys are sat there. You're not delivering.
Yes,
Come on.
We're not hitting our marks here at Third Presbyterian Sarasota. You're out.
Come on. Those are the toughest boards in the world. We got to get it as tough as the church boards.
But Steve, you know, I went down to Dana Point, you know this, and I was pressing flesh. I was trying to get Harmeet. I was trying to get Ron out. And the RNC, they don't want it. You know, a lot of the people, the members, they don't want anything to do with it.
I was Mike Lindell. We got a vote.
Mike Lindell got a single vote.
We got a single vote.
God bless Mike Lindell. By the way, is it the Mike Lindell war room or is it Bannon's war room? I can't.
Whoa.
No, I mean, it's just like every day. I mean that as a compliment. I love it. But it's just.
We had to save it. It was about.
It's just every day. All right, Mike, how are things going? It's Tuesday. Tell us. And the next day, I love it.
When they almost
Steve is single-handedly saving that man's company, I'll tell you.
Look, they're going to put Trump out of business?
No, it's amazing.
If they're trying to put you out of business, you know this, the hits. If they start putting some of the top people out of business, that's going to chill everybody, right? And Mike had a patch there that all of a sudden he got debanked. They weren't going to be able to make payroll. So I said, heck with it.
We'll no, I love you. It. I'm kidding. I think it's amazing. No. By the way, you know what I love, Steve?
Promo code War Room. And, you know, the number is 800-873-1062. Thanks for the plug. By the way, only because Posobiec is the most insane at all. He's the professional.
No, Posobiec is out of control. No. The guy, there could be a huge breaking news event, and out of nowhere he says, promo code, don't use it.
But you go on
promo
the Twitter,
code Kirk, it, just you, so we're you, clear, you okay,
the,
everybody?
You go on the Twitter feed, you go, you know, everywhere.
No, it's out of control, but let's lay it out. We're going into 24. Yeah. We got to fix the RNC. This election integrity thing, Steve, you know, I watched
the
this.
The worst.
You know, and you got this Professor Clements, and you have this new think. I don't know if that's public or not, but you had him on the show, and you're doing some stuff.
Yeah.
How will we fix this stuff? This is not, by the way, if there was something where, you know, Charlie's expertise is limited, I get asked this question all the time. I say, look, this is not my lane. My lane, I could diagnose the problem. I'm an action guy. I'm a messaging guy. Students, churches, all that. When all of a sudden it gets into this machine stuff and all this, that's not my forte. But Steve, how do we fix it?
I'm still not a total machine.
But isn't that Clements' thing though?
Yeah. His is a machine. I am 100% mail-in ballots.
No.
Mail-in ballots, I can mathematically show you the stolen.
I'm convinced. How do we fix it though?
No, okay. Number one, here's how we fix it. I think we have to be much more aggressive. In 16, when we won, right? And it was 40,000 votes in Pennsylvania, 10,000, I think, in Wisconsin.
The margins? It was more than that, but yeah.
No. In 16, the total was 72,000 votes.
That's amazing, really.
In the northern states.
Wow.
Because we were maniacally focused. But here's what I had. I had lawyers with documents. We were ready to go in right away. I mean, I had them file. I had them ready. We could have walked into the court in the middle of the night.
But in 20, it was a Chinese fire drill, man.
In 20, I'll be brutally frank. With President Trump doing what he did and getting 74 million votes, I thought I did a great job in 16, 63 million votes. I was pretty proud of that. 74 million votes shows you how the country came together around Trump.
Yes.
And to lose that, and they lost it because they weren't prepared. They didn't focus on the close. Mark Elias, this is why Raheem and Bill McGinley and on War Room went around with the Transition Integrity Project. They told you how they were going to steal it with the mail-in ballots and keep counting. And that's why they shut down the counting in the middle
of the night.
President Trump, as I recommended, should have stepped up at 10 o'clock when he's up by millions of votes everywhere and said, hey, boom, I won. Right? I won. And then you would have taken the moral high. It's not that him saying you won means anything. The Associated Press saying you won doesn't mean anything. Right? That's a legal process you have to go through. But it would have given you the moral high ground. So then when they stopped counting in those states, you know exactly why they stopped counting. They stopped counting because they wanted to go after Trump and take the lead. Otherwise, we kind of stumbled around. He went up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think.
Yeah, and then he did say something about it. He kind of fumbled around with it.
Fumbled around because
– And then he said, you know what? I'm not supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it. I think
the staff around him wouldn't allow it to happen.
But hold on. Let's talk about this November because I get asked this question all the time.
No, I think, number one, you have to get a legal
– War room?
Not true. We have terrific lawyers. Some of the money that's going for some of the things like the $700 million that's going to this – frickin' primary have got to go to get a first-class legal team, and we ought to be in right now in Arizona, Michigan.
I agree.
By the way, dropping lawsuits right now. I mean ripping people's face off of what happened in 22 and getting aggressive with top-quality lawyers. That's number one. Number two, we have to then flood the zone with people that are there for to make sure that we don't have the operational problems we had in Arizona and other places where they want these game day votes right to back up.
No, this is a big thing.
That was a debacle.
No, this is where Turning Point Action is stepping up, right? You
we
do your
have
job.
To, we have to get that. We have to get those operations down.
Yeah, and so what we're talking about, Steve, I mean, would you go back in the campaign? I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, because at this point I'm looking around and there's a bunch of money-grubbing consultants here. You won in 16. Why wouldn't we bring back the guy
I'm going to break some news here. Back in 20, there were some senior donors that wanted me to go in June of 20 when the BLM thing hit. To
fix everything.
Well, because even then it'll
kind of be a steady hand.
Well, not just that, is to make sure, look, like Trump, you win the deal, but then you have to close the deal.
Yes.
You know, how many times have you won a deal or have you gotten to a place that you win it but you don't close? And you don't close because the legal and all the other aspects are going to close them. We have to close. The third thing I would do right now is on the machines. I would start throwing lawsuits in there on these machines. The Murdochs didn't do it. Other people didn't, and I'm not a machine guy, but I would take David Clements as the lead, get people in back of him in every state, and make sure that we get to the bottom of it. Remember, the legal warfare here in Cochise County in this state.
They just indicted a bunch of people.
They indicted two felony counts, supervisors who
This is preemptive strikes, just so we're clear. That's what
right?
this is.
And they said
they know what's coming, so they're playing offense.
They indicted two supervisors who said in 22, hey, look.
In one of the most conservative counties here in Arizona, on
because,
the border.
And what they said is that, hey, I'm not sure our votes were really officially counted because of what happened in Maricopa County, right? We want a review of what happened in Maricopa County before we certify what happened here. Those two individuals have two felonies, and even if they get off, which they will, it'll take them years and it'll take them $1 million each. They're trying to bank, and they're going to go to Mojave County too. They're doing this. That's where the electors. They're suing the electors. So we have to get – and the campaign is so, overwhelmed right now, not with President Trump just running, right, and winning in these states, but also all of his legal. Remember, that's a weapon they use for opportunity costs and for money. His legal bill is going to be hundreds of millions of dollars. So we have to independently do that. I think that's why coming out of here the next couple of days, the task force coming out of here, it's got to be coming out of Amphis.
But if I'm hearing you, Steve, and I'll be honest, I mean, I don't know if we have – do we have the generals – to go win the war in 24? We have the guy.
I think you've got
we have Trump. Yeah. But do we have the actual lieutenants?
I think you've got some pretty good lawyers if they were unleashed. Look, one thing that should be obvious to everybody. What's happened over the last 90 days on Trump's legal is quite different. He's brought in some more guys. Mike Davis and some others are working with.
Finally,
lawyers.
Getting Will Sharf is great.
Sharf, you've gotten some.
He's really good.
Smart lawyers in here, and you've noticed President Trump right now. The whole J6 thing happening on March 4th is not happening.
Thankfully,
right?
That's a huge win, everybody. I can't tell you.
Well,
that's
they've
huge.
Also won on the 14th Amendment everywhere, right? Even
yeah,
in Colorado,
Colorado
to a degree,
yeah, I know,
right?
But that's, I mean, that's still a
it's still,
thing.
It's still,
that's
a thing. Still a thing. It's still a thing. But this shows you how they're trying to stop Trump, even the 14th Amendment. But he's had some big reversals. He's had some win on appeals. He's doing okay in the gag order. The thing in New York's out of control, and that's going to be terrible news for President Trump.
Oh, you think it's going to end up?
Yeah, because the guys, there's no control in New York. You have literally, you have a Nazi judge. You have like the Moscow show trial.
It's what
he's
it is.
Insane.
Arthur Kessler, Darkness at Noon, is what it is.
Darkness at Noon. And, yeah. And you can't appeal. The appellate court there is just as bad as this guy. And the Supreme Court there is just as bad. New York is a state that's been totally taken. That's why I think businesses are going to start moving out of New York. Literally, they're saying we can just take. It's like Moscow, right? We can just take your property. So President Trump has gotten, I think, a rejuvenation with this legal team over the last 90 days, and I think you're starting to see it. But that's the quality of people. They're out there. Remember, the number one weapon they use against you guys is fear. They want, if you step up, you're going to be othered, right? You're going to get thrown out of your clubs. They're going to make sure your employees don't hire you or get rid of you. This is why O'Keefe had that thing with the Presbyterian pastor. That thing was at Northwestern University. And he's given this speech.
Oh, this is a great dialogue.
This about fear not. And O'Keefe's talking, and people are raising their hands, taking questions. He said, look, I'm scared. And the guy said, look, I'm 42 years old. I got a wife and a couple of kids. I've got an okay job. But if I step out of line, I'm gone, right? And at 42 years old, I'm not going to get this kind of job again. They will literally take my career away. That is a legitimate fear. That is how they're trying to suppress this populist revolt, because they understand they can't sell what they have. So they have to put fear in you. And that is for the leaders of this have got to push through. And that's why Trump and Mike Lindell and people like that, and even Rudy, right, and others, where they're trying to crush her at the front line, we somehow have to figure out how to have their back.
But this is the other. This is exactly right, which is you. People ask all the time, Charlie, how do you weaken the bad guys? One of the ways you weaken the bad guys is you pick their targets that they want you to think of as toxic, and you do the opposite, right? Mike Lindell, Owen Schwoyer. I mean, we got this Chewbacca guy running around the event, the QAnon shaman or whatever. I don't know. And, you know, people –
He's a candidate for
God bless him. You know, he's not behaving great. But people say, Charlie, kick him out. I said, you know what? You know why I don't want to kick him out?
He's a shaman.
Because his presence here is a middle finger to the regime that tried to put every one of these guys in federal prison, right? And, you know, we're going to work on decorum. Yeah. But you know what? He was in federal prison, okay? If I was in federal prison, I would be a little wacky.
He's a shaman. He's doing shaman stuff.
No, it's really – but I love it. The reason I love it, and this is it, the message needs to be sent. You come after ours, we're going to punch back twice as hard, right? This is important.
100%. You bring a knife, we're going to bring a gun, right?
Yeah, but Obama said we punch back twice as hard. We are an army
of the awakened, and you are the vanguard of that. You are absolutely directly linked to those folks that did the Boston Tea Party. If they came back today, they would be absolutely shocked and ashamed what's happened to this country. But they would 100%, if they came here, support you 1,000%. That's the thing. If you take anything away from that, just remember, you're part of a revolutionary generation that has always opposed tyranny. And it's opposed tyranny. The East India Company was a monopoly, one of the most powerful companies in the world. The British aristocracy was one of those powerful royal families, and the associated aristocrats landed aristocracy. Our country, which was still relatively small at the time, gave them the middle finger and said, hey, no way, we're out. And we'll fight an eight-year revolution. We'll fight a war for 8 years, losing most of the time, right? Because we're not going to quit. And that's what the established order hates about you guys. They understand you're not going to quit. And this is why. What's their number one target now? It's not even Trump. It's Christian nationalism.
No, this is right.
It's Christian nationalism. Remember, Tim Alberta said it. These are Christians who love their country too much.
The Atlantic regime spokesperson whose father was a pastor.
He says, they love their country too much. And the reason they love their country too much, they have too much patriotism because they think America is a covenant country.
Yes.
Right. In the New Jerusalem. I go, okay, that's a recruiting thing. I'm in, right? I'm in.
Why do you think 100%. They were called pilgrims?
Exactly.
Because they were making a pilgrimage to New Israel.
This is what they're coming after next. And they're coming after not Trump, because I think we could safely say President Trump is many things. He's not a Christian nationalist. You guys are. Right? But he does. That's the power of Trump. Trump is providential. Trump is
He's an instrument
of God. Right? Not that he's the holiest guy I've ever met. He's not particularly churchy. He's a good man. Think about it for a second. Think about it a second. I call him the American Cincinnatus.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. They,
George Washington.
They say that he is Caesar. And therefore, it is appropriate that Brutus and the others assassinate him, right? I say
and
Cincinnatus,
Cassius,
which is this legendary Roman general who was old and retired and came back from his plow to save Rome again.
And then went back.
If Trump had just stayed in Mar-a-Lago, they wouldn't have touched his business. He had his family. He bought more golf courses. It's because he came back to do this again when all the polls were against him. Remember, Fox News are going for DeSantis. And his heroism is because he understood, you make that move, bro, they are going to destroy you. That's why he's got 700 years in a federal prison. That's why they're trying to take his business in New York. This is why every time he comes around, he's a fascist. They're trying to take him off the ballot. He understood that this was going to happen. There's never been, this is almost rare, in a nation of heroes, this is heroism at a huge level. That's why for only the third time in this republic, only the third time, the fate of one individual is completely inextricably linked with the fate of the republic. General Washington and the revolution, and particularly his presidency, and walking away from it, building a nation when it had all this disparate things that everybody had a different deal, he did that for 16 years. Lincoln and Trump. Not FDR, not Kennedy, not Reagan. The fate of one individual is absolutely the fate of this republic. And he's built a movement that is the broadest and the most revolutionary movement we've had in this country since what happened before our revolution.
And
right?
It will outlive him, and that's what terrifies them.
Big time.
This event, 13,000 people, multiple generations, most students ever at a Turning Point event, will outlive him. Steve Bannon, everybody. That was excellent. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.